Hello, welcome everyone. This is the official launch of the Ontology Summit 2011. Title of this summit this year is Making the Case for Ontology, and today is January 20th. My name is Steve Ray, and along with Nicola Guarino, we are the co-chairs of this year's summit. We have a full agenda today on this launch, so I want to zip through this as quickly as possible. Basically, let me just identify the theme, and then what we're going to do first is if you go to the wiki page about four screens down on today's call, you'll see the agenda, and basically we're just going to have a few remarks from our co-sponsors, from different co-sponsoring organizations, identified at the top of the wiki page, just articulating what they are getting out of this summit series and out of this particular year's summit theme. Then Nicola and I will sort of take you through a little bit of the structure we've put in place for this year, including the different tracks we have to address the goal of this year's summit. And then we'll hear from each of the from each of the co-champions of each of the tracks. We've got five tracks for this year. Peter is then going to take us through some of the logistics of the various tools we have and mailing lists and chats and other resources, very important for a virtual event like this. And then finally, we want to leave enough time for all of the attendees, all of you on the line, to ask any questions. We can have a brief discussion. The point of today's call is not to actually start reaching consensus on this topic matter at all, but more just to introduce everyone so that we all know where to go, how to engage. This is by no means a live event only. We have a lot of email discussions anticipated and all. So with that, let me just say that this year's summit theme then is Making the Case for Ontology, and this is the sixth in a series. We've had five ontology summits leading up to this, but the short thumbnail description of this year's theme is basically trying to arm all of us who are trying to advocate for the use of ontology and applications with the necessary ammunition we need in terms of great examples and good arguments and strategies for making that case. So with that as just the bare minimum introduction of the theme today, what I'd like to do, because of some timing constraints, is ask each of the co-organizing organizations to say a few words on what they are hoping to get out of this summit and the summit series and this particular summit. Before I do that, I'd like to invite Nicola to just say any welcoming remarks you have as the co-chair.
Thanks, Steve. Hello, everybody. Just a few words to say that I'm happy. I accepted to the invitation to co-chair this summit together with Steve on behalf of the International Association for Ontology and its Applications, and also in an attempt to broaden a little bit the scope of this event, which despite Ontologa has always been focusing, and Ontology Summit has always been directing to the whole international community, in a sense is largely dominated by Americans. Well, my presence is an attempt to also bring some words from Europe, and in particular concerning co-organizers, you will note that this year we have George Throne from U.S. government National Coordination Office accepted to co-organize this event, and we made some attempt to involve also the corresponding people from the European Commission. Indeed, I must say that they are actually following the event, although they decided not to officially co-organize the Ontology Summit. And indeed, we are planning in the course of the discussion in the future sessions in the next weeks and months, we are planning a couple of sessions and to give the opportunity to the unit on technologies and information management of the General Directorate for Information Society and Media from the European Commission to present what Europe has done in the past on ontology, a substantial number of initiatives and so on, as well as their ideas for the future. Okay, this was my major remark for today, and I believe we can just move to the presentation of aspirations for this summit from the various co-organizers.
Okay, yeah, indeed. So let me invite everyone to refresh the wiki page for today's conference call, the one titled Conference Call 2001-20. Because when you refresh now, you'll see about the bottom of the first screen the links for all of the slides that we'll be able to see today. And about halfway down the screen, you see the listing of the different co-organizers. So I'd like to go ahead and invite Leo Oberst to speak on behalf of the Ontolog Forum, which is probably the longest sponsor of this series. Invite everyone else to go ahead and click on the link after slides that says 01 Ontolog. Leo, you have the floor.
Thanks, Steve. Welcome, everyone. I'm representing the Ontolog community. If you just jump to slide 2, that's the only substantive slide. I just want to tell you that Ontolog was founded in 2002. As an open community of practice, many people have joined over the years, but our focus has always been on promoting ontology engineering and ontology technologies. Peter Yim, Kurt Conrad, and I are the co-conveners, and at the very start, Peter was forming his own business and provided the infrastructure for Ontolog, which we're all grateful for, and many other sub-communities within Ontolog are getting that infrastructure for free or minimal cost. We're one of the original sponsors of the Ontology Summit. I think later speakers will talk about perhaps the history behind this. We began in 2006 with the Upper Ontology Summit. And so this has been a yearly event. We recognized as a community kind of early on that having this kind of annual group effort focusing on what we tried to isolate as an important ontology issue was going to be very valuable. The way it's structured, it's a virtual effort over the course of about 3 months. Finally, culminating in a face-to-face physical meeting. Typically, that's been at, entirely, it's been at NIST, originally during the interoperability week, and originally under Steve Ray's sponsorship when he was at NIST. Steve is still with us, and we're grateful for that. And then the final activity, if you will, and product of the Ontology Summits have been a joint communique that really the community affirms, and it represents the best consensus thinking on the topic and also a commitment by the community to pursue whatever the topic suggestions were. And so we're going to invite you over the course of the next 3 months to participate in this. And at the physical meeting, and eventually sign your name and your organization, if you can, to the communique showing that you support it. What we feel is that these ontology summits extremely useful in building community cohesion. In addition, of course, it advances the state of the practice, gets us all to do a joint topic, focus our ideas, and perhaps even to help solve or resolve important ontology issues. So I welcome you to Ontology Summit 2011. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Leo. I really appreciate that positive feeling, and certainly I think the Ontolog Forum has done tremendous contribution to the field and the community. Well, I'm gonna let Sriram speak on behalf of NIST. Bring up the O2 NIST slide set, and then Ram, feel free, go ahead and.
Okay. Anyway, can you go to second slide? This slide kind of tells you about NIST. And right now, I'm in the information technology lab. Previously, I used to be in the manufacturing lab. I made a little bit of reorganization around here. The ITL lab, as you can probably read this thing in terms of what we do. But the key mission is to, as you can see, we are interested in this deployment of information and communication systems that are reliable, usable, interoperable, and secure. The normal word. And the way we do it is through advances in measurement science, through innovations in mathematics, statistics, and computer science. So those are the key core areas around here, mathematics, statistics, and computer science. Okay? That's really what our kind of mission is. And what we expect from this particular summit is in the next slide, is our expectations. I don't want to go too much about, I don't want to talk about NIST today, because you can go to the URL, the www.nist.gov/ITL, and there's a whole lot of stuff out there, so I won't be talking any more than that, and given the time too, because I will go to take another call at 1 o'clock, and then I'll try to come back. I don't know whether Ernie is there or not. Ernie, are you there? I don't know, maybe he's on the mute.
He is on the chat, so
maybe we'll chat with him on that, okay? In terms of the summit itself, here are our expectations. And what we are really looking at is what are the real-world uses of these ontologies, and what are the research, what are the challenges, future trends, and potential research areas from ontology, which are within the scope of our institute's vision and mission. Okay? Now, there's a lot of ontologies, there's a lot of talk about ontologies going on, as you can see, and you can see the success of the summits over the last few years and things like that. But we're really looking for real-world applications of these things. Okay, where have these actually been applied, both in the academia and the industry, with particular interest in the industry, but I would also like to see what's happening in the research area and academic area. So we want to see how these ontologies are used for maybe specifying the technical specifications for both the software in an unambiguous manner. Next is how these ontologies are used for interoperability, how these ontologies are used for search, and where are the real-world applications of the ontologies is what we are looking at. And also, as you can see, we are in the area of measurement science, and standards, and we would like to know what are the various tests that are required for the that are needed for ontology evaluation, and that's one of our major interests as such. Okay, so in summary, the key is to identify challenges, future trends, and potential research areas for ontologies is the bottom line that we would like to see, and we hope that this summit will provide some input on this particular thing. Okay. Okay. Steve, anything else?
That's good. That's good. And we'll hope to hear from you jumping back in. I know you've got another call. You've got a chair. Okay. In that case, we'll move forward in our agenda here. The next, Fabian, you're on. So people can bring up the NCOR slide, number 3, and you have the floor.
Thank you very much. In case you're wondering, I think I was or am affiliated with five of the 6 months, but today I'm speaking with my NCORE hat on, the National Center for Ontological Research, and the director is Barry Smith. And unfortunately, he is not able to attend personally, so but he sends his regards. Could you go to the next slide, please? So the National Center of Ontological Research has four major interests. It wants to advance ontology as a science, foster development of high-quality ontologies, develop measures of quality for ontologies to establish best practices, and advance ontology education. The sub-goal there is to advance to have an advanced certificate program to be initiated in 2011. And I peeked at Ram's slide before I started to do my slide. So if you look at the third class here, that is actually very much in line with what Ram talked about. So I will focus on the next slide on some other aspect, namely the education. So the expectations, all the expectations that Ram formulated go also for us, but I try to find a different angle here and link it back to our last ontology summit. And I think the case for ontology has not only to be made to industry, but also to another important group. Because for ontology to become as successful as engineering or science discipline, we need to train our next generation. We have need to establish training opportunities. And universities will not offer courses if there is no demand, and there will be no demand if students are not convinced that ontology is something they can have a career of. So one audience that we are interested in to make the case for ontology to is young academics and students, basically the next generation of ontologists. Okay, that was basically my one of our expectations is to use the results of this summit as to make the point that ontology is an exciting new field for young academics.
Okay, thank you, Fabian. The next co-organizer is the NCBO, the National Center for Biomedical Ontology, led by Mark Newson. Go ahead.
It's a pleasure to represent the National Center for Biomedical Ontology and to support the summit in 2011. NCBO is dedicated to the creation of computational infrastructure for helping folks in biomedicine to be able to access ontologies. It helps disseminate ontologies to the scientific community, and we develop software that helps people in biomedicine to use ontologies in their work. And although our funding comes from NIH and our goal is to create this infrastructure for biomedicine, the issues that we face are quite general. And effectively, all of the past summits have addressed topics that are incredibly important to NCBO. And this year's summit in particular is of value to us because our whole existence is based on being able to show that ontologies are important for biomedicine in particular, and I would argue that they're important for e-science in general. All along, NCBO has been a supporter of the summits, and this year the theme is particularly germane because we're interested in being able to show that there is real value in the work that we do and in the way that ontologies are used by the biomedical community. In the life sciences, over the past decade, ontologies such as the gene ontology have become incredibly entrenched in the way that biologists perform their work. And indeed, it's hard to imagine that work in genomics and work in the analysis of a lot of the high-throughput experiments that now commonly take place in biology would be possible without ontologies that help provide explicit meanings for the results of those experiments. And in healthcare, particularly in the wake of the Obama stimulus package and the emphasis on electronic patient records, ontologies are having an influence unlike that they've never had in biomedicine. In healthcare, ontologies have been around for a long time. The 19th century marked the beginning of the international classification of diseases and other kinds of classifications based on controlled terms that are pervasive now in the dealing with patients who see physicians and being able to monitor their conditions to be able to collect data for public health and a whole sort of reasons. But now with the advent of new emphasis on electronic patient records, with the incredible amount of funding that's now available for electronic patient records, and with recent reports from the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, which in particular has argued for a national infrastructure to promote data interchange across healthcare organizations, ontology is going to have an unprecedented role in healthcare. And again, we're in the situation where we need to be able to identify what ontologies are useful, how they're useful, and how they play a role in the software that will drive the kinds of interoperability that we need in healthcare to make healthcare affordable and effective. So for all those reasons, NCBO has a vested interest not only in the summits in general, but in this year's Ontology Summit in particular. And we're very thrilled to be a member of the organizing team. And we look forward to the discussions that will take place over the next 3 months and to the actual meeting that will take place face-to-face in April. Thanks.
Our next co-organizer's remarks is actually Nicola Guarino, who represents the, is the president of the International Association for Ontology and its Applications. So, again, next slide is the 05-IAOA slide set. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, everybody, again. So the International Association for Ontology and its Applications has been formed more than 1 year ago. And the mission is to promote interdisciplinary research and international collaboration at the intersection between philosophical ontology, linguistics, logic, cognitive science, and computer science, and focusing as well on the applications of ontological analysis to conceptual modeling, knowledge engineering, knowledge management, information system development, library science, information science, and semantic technologies in general. So this is the mission, which is pretty open. And indeed, the IAOA as an association has a unique, presents a unique combination of key aspects. I'm at slide 3 now. So one thing is interdisciplinarity. This is a pretty strong emphasis on this. And the other point is, of course, the promotion of the cooperation between academy, industry, and communities of practice. In this sense, we have a strong link with Ontolog as a community of practice, with a special eye on education. Also, we aim at scientific authoritativeness, and indeed, members of the Executive Council and of the Association are well-known scientists in the domain. We definitely aim at openness. All decisions, all things are completely open and transparent to people, and you can go to their website and look at the minutes of the decision and so on. This is the usual process of an open association. We do have a legal status, which is also important. The association is formally established under the Italian law, and we definitely aim at a transparent, democratic governance. So these are the key aspects of the associations. An association. Now, concerning the role IAOA has in this Ontology Summit event, this is slide 4. The first desire is to, through the participation of our association, to aim at an increased international participation to this event. We are really doing our best to increase the participation from all countries. Also, concerning the topics, we hope to promote an increased awareness of the need for a genuine interdisciplinary approach
in ontology-related projects. And specifically concerning the theme of this summit, we hope to achieve a better understanding of the cost-benefit trade-offs concerning the depth of ontological analysis. Typically, ontological analysis is something which requires a certain effort, and of course a critical point is to judge how much where to stop in ontological analysis, where deciding whether something is too weak or maybe too deep. And of course we also aim, we expect to be able to study and to discuss the success stories in this, in the process which will lead to the final face-to-face event, as well as failure stories, because surely there are many failure stories concerning ontology-related projects to learn from. Finally, a final remark, the communique, which will result after the face-to-face, will be produced after the face-to-face meeting, will be published on Applied Ontology, which is now a journal which is, has more than 5 years of age, getting some maturity, let's say. So we published in the past the previous communique, and as well we aim to publish a communique resulting from this event. And just a note, the access to the journal is free to the members of the association. That's it concerning our role in this summit.
Thank you, Nicola. So we do have a nice archival outlet. In addition to the online, we have the Applied Ontology Journal, which is a great place to go to keep up on a lot of these things. All right, so here's our attempt to see if George Strawn is on the line. He is. So George, if people, the attendees, can download the slide 06-Strawn, and George, I would invite you to go ahead and make some remarks on behalf of the NCO.
Thank you. I'll do so. Please let me know if there's too much echo or any other communication problem. Representing what's called NITERD NCO, the Networking and Information Technology Research and Development National Coordinating Office. NITERD is an interagency federal program that coordinates the IT research activities of about 16 federal agencies, representing a formal budget cross-cut of about $5 billion. We have many of the concerns that our agencies have and our administration has. Open government, transparency, popular word in Washington right now is dashboards, which means summary information describing research and development activities, but with drill down, say, to the individual, all the way to the individual project level. Since we are also part of the science community, we're particularly focused on what these days may be called data-intensive science, or sometimes big data and science, which to us seems to include, among other things, big sensor inputs, many petabytes of data these days, big computer outputs, simulation and modeling can produce petabytes as well, and of course the literature, scientific literature, is bigger and bigger and constitutes a certain class of big data as well. Between the literature and the inputs and the outputs, we certainly have a data deluge in science and probably society at large. And our goal, of course, is to see whether we can help turn the data deluge into a data cornucopia. Hence the focus and the questions that we have to ask. I'm not a specialist, but I ask the question, does ontology and semantic technology provide a key to some of the data deluge and the possibility of turning it into a data cornucopia. Now, within the federal context, attempting to deal with these issues is a certain challenge in and of itself. Since having been around the federal government for about 20 years, I can tell you that by and large, the federal government is a late adopter of new technologies, not an early adopter of new technologies. So adoption in terms of actual use is one issue. Another issue, of course, is the research support. Many of my friends have indicated that Europe, for example, provides much more support for ontologies and somatic technologies than the U.S. and opine that federal support would be more federal support would be greatly appreciated. So, from our perspective within a government interagency program that A, promotes research and B, promotes advanced uses of the latest research, we understand that more research support would be desirable. We also understand that some use cases and some implementations that could prove the worth of the technology would be highly desirable. We're looking for what part of the technology is ready for which support, more research support or possible early implementations. The dashboard activity that I mentioned earlier is something that our NCO office is looking at a possibility of utilizing ontology and somatic technologies to test out a reasonable size implementation. And finally, and most specifically, this summit and this summit series has been useful so far, and we expect it to continue to be useful into helping us sort out some of these questions and help plot the path forward. So thank you for giving me a couple minutes to comment on our position.
Thank you, George.
Thank you.
And I know that there's some possible, exciting possibilities of things we'll be talking about actually even on this call about possible grand challenge ideas and things. So we really appreciate the involvement of the NCO in helping to bring attention to this. Okay, so thank you all to the co-organizers for saying a few words on this summit. Now we can step back just a bit, and I can provide just a little insight into the theme and the sub-tracks of this ontology summit this year. So I'm going to be speaking from the set of slides labeled 0-chair, and Peter will probably, yeah, he's got it up on the VNC already. So I just want to step you through this, and then we can actually start getting a little more technical about the material. So if you go to slide 2 on that slide set, let me explain the goal in a little bit more detail. The motivation for this summit this year is to arm each of us with more ammunition, if you like, when we're pitching the use of ontology in an application either to a corporate boss of some sort or a research decision maker, anyone else who needs to understand better how can the use of ontology help. And, of course, there are many ways in which one could make such an argument, and the whole point of this summit is to lay out a lot of descriptions, some great examples. So the second bullet there on slide 2, collect and document several specific examples. There's often nothing more compelling than saying, look, here's a case right here, and they set out to save some money or provide a new capability or something like that. And here's how it went, and here's how much they saved. Those are kinds of anecdotal evidence stories are very compelling at times. By the same token, on bullet 3 there, we can try and examine a little bit what would be some metrics that would resonate with decision makers, such as cost or performance or something else. Thirdly, what kind of things are still hindering the broader deployment of ontology-driven applications is another thing we wanted to examine a little bit. But the bottom line is what we want to do is make it as easy as possible for all of us in the ontology community or the ontology fan club to have a place to go to pull up those kinds of examples, arguments, strategies, etc. So if you go to slide number 3, the goals for this session today, which is launching the whole 3-month summit, is basically just to, we've heard of the desired outcomes on the part of the co-organizers already. I want to spend a few minutes just introducing the tracks we have identified, five of them, to break this problem down into pieces. We want to lay out a little bit about what's coming the coming 3 months, so you know when to tune in, how to participate. And then finally to give you all, everyone else, time to ask any questions, raise issues, etc. Slide number 4 identifies the five tracks. So, and you'll hear from each of the track co-champions today that can expand a little bit upon what each of these is. Basically, the first one on ontology application framework, just to allow us to sort of organize the different classes of applications that exist, what kinds of uses ontology applications are being put to. The second track on applications and case studies actually is going to attempt to roll out real examples that have been put into place that ideally have been measured quantitatively in some way, which will allow us to help make that case. The third track then speaks to those notions of what kind of metrics and what kind of value model, if you like, framework for how these metrics fit together will be articulated and documented by the end. The fourth gives you sort of a phrase book or not, a script book to work from in terms of arming you with how to go about making a case for an ontology-driven application. And then the fifth is a forward-looking identification of where are those remaining research or other obstacles and challenges to the deployment of ontology applications. So we're going to break the big problem into these five threads. There may be additional ones that evolve, and that's the exciting thing about these discussions. If we find a need for any additional track, as we have our discussions over the coming 3 months, we are certainly open to creating additional tracks. So, slide number 5, schedule of events. Today's the January 20th launch, so we're doing it. And then I want to emphasize that this is not intended just to be focused entirely on the April 18th and 19th physical meeting we'll have at NIST, but rather the meat of the material and the discussions will be during the interval between now and then by means of email threads, by means of virtual sessions, typically on Thursday, as we are today, where we can have invited speakers or whatever. But this is a production-oriented exercise where we're hoping to actually generate something that's of value, of lasting value at the end. So I would encourage everyone to engage through all of these avenues, the email discussion list, the virtual sessions, and, of course, coming together at the end where we'll be tying it all together. We don't expect to bring new material to the table at the physical symposium, but rather that's where we just tie it all off, come to consensus, and package it up ready to issue our communique, if you like, and provide the archival documentation online as well. Slide 6, I would be remiss. This is an effort of lots and lots of people. I'm blathering on quite a bit here, but Nicola and I are co-chairing the overall summit. But I do want to acknowledge the work that already has been done as well as will be done by others. Listed on this slide, we have the symposium, which is a two-day event at NIST in April, which will be led by Ram Sriram of NIST and Leo Oberst. We have a lot of co-champions for the tracks, which you will be hearing from some of them in just a few moments. They have the challenge of trying to both guide discussions but also hear what people have to say and, most importantly, synthesize those discussions into a coherent message, a coherent model, documentation during the ongoing discussion. This is very important both during the discussion because if people join in, you know, after a month or something, rather than having to wade through lots of email, they can go to the wiki page and hopefully see, an evolving picture there for each of the tracks. The organizing committee has been very active in both identifying and structuring this year's theme. We owe them a great debt. The advisory committee, which is a larger group of people who are available to us to provide additional input, expertise, and perspective. We've heard from the co-sponsors, the primary co-sponsors at this point. And then last but not least, of course, is everyone else who is where the bulk of the material will be coming from, is the opinions, the experiences, the insights that you all bring. And I would be remiss of not appreciating all of your involvement both today and over the coming 3 months. So I have a couple of hands up on the chat room, so let me just invite you all to react to that, I guess. John Soa, you is that still a new hand up, or is that a leftover hand up? And press star 3 so we can hear from you. So I'm not hearing from you yet.
Okay. Actually, that was a leftover remark. But I just wanted to mention, since I'm on the line this moment, the thing that really I'm concerned about is the issue of where we go in the future. And there are all these things like value metrics and value models and all that, but I would make the point that Steve Jobs does not use metrics. 99% of the managers in the world use metrics, but Steve Jobs knows what he wants, and he's got the good taste to know when he's got it and when he doesn't and how to make his guys do it. Now, that's the kind of thing that my feeling is that all of our current technology is just beginning to scratch the surface, and we really have to ask, where do we really want to go? And we can't measure where we want to go because there's nothing to compare it to. There's nothing like an iPad. Steve Jobs couldn't have any metric for an iPad because there was no metric for it. There's no metric for an iPhone. There's no metric for the Mac versus the original PC. He just had this feeling that the wow factor, we can't have a metric for the wow factor, but that's where we really got to go. So that's the only point I wanted to make right now.
Okay, and I've written a quick note in the chat room, so it's preserved for posterity. Thanks, John. Nicola, would you like to say a remark? Don't forget the star 3.
Yes, and speaking of acknowledgement, just I'd like to mention Peter Im, who's, as usual, making an enormous work behind the whole organization, so I really deserve to be mentioned. And also I'd like to underline the fact that the role of co-champions is just to be facilitators, and so really the participation from everybody is welcome. That's it.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. In fact, I'm terrible for not mentioning Peter earlier. He's here, obviously, online, making sure all of this is working and nudging and encouraging people at all times, which really makes this thing work and successful. So Peter definitely deserves recognition for that. Thanks, Peter. Okay, so now we're ready for the next major section of the agenda here, which is to hear from each of the track co-champions. Our little mute lady is talking. So we want to allow each of the co-champions to have one of them for each track step forward and just give us a little bit of insight as to how you're going to be handling that particular theme and your plans. Especially some of you have already identified some dates coming up for a virtual session, typically a Thursday. So we're at the point now where you can look at slides T1-Gruninger, and Michael, if you hit star 3, you've got the floor.
Thank you, Steve. So I'll be presenting a few broad strokes, ideas on behalf of my co-champions, Mike Ushold and Nicola Guarino. As Steve has mentioned before, I think one of the really exciting aspects of the Ontology Summit is that it's a very collaborative effort from a very broad and diverse community. And I think this year it might be even more so, given that what we're trying to do is collect all the different kinds of ontology applications that are actually being developed within both the academic, research, and government and industrial communities. And so the role of Track 1, as Steve has kind of alluded to, is to try to provide some kind of synthesis. So if you go to slide 2, the objectives for Track 1 are basically to identify and the different kinds of applications within the business and industrial use cases that we'll be hearing about from Track 2, and to try to provide some kind of organization, some way of classifying these kinds of applications. And this classification will play a few roles. I mean, one will be simply just to organize all the different use cases that are proposed by all the different participants within the summit. Another application of this would be to there may be use cases that then are kind of identified within by participants, and then that can serve to you know, search for new kinds of applications. Very often, if we also want to be able to do, say, benchmarking between different kinds of applications, you want to be able to compare apples and apples. And so one of the purposes of our kind of framework is going to be to try to do that, and so then we can kind of compare various kinds of applications that are more similar to each other. So if you move to slide 3, there are going to be a few questions that we'll want to be addressing to kind of drive the conversation. And I apologize to Nicola, there were a couple of points that he sent, and I wasn't able to update the slides in time, so I'll mention them around here. But some of these questions are going to be, you know, exactly how are ontologies being used? I mean, very often people will say, oh, yes, we have an application that is using ontologies. But then when you actually say, okay, well, you know, exactly how is it being used? What role are the ontologies playing? And so that's going to be one of the big questions that we want to address. And each of the use cases that people propose or in different kinds of applications that people think about, we want to be able to kind of address that kind of question. We'll also want to understand, like, what's the relationship, what are the interactions between the ontologies that are being used and their various applications? You know, so which ontologies are actually being used? How is the ontology specified? For example, is it actually tied to a logical language? Is it being used as a taxonomy? Is it being used as a kind of a consensus-driven kind of documentation that serves to kind of clarify human understanding? From Nicola, two points that I missed on this slide, we want to understand, like, what's the depth of the kind of ontological analysis within that particular application, and what's the methodology that is being adopted. So if you move to slide 4, this is just a very preliminary list of different kinds of applications. Actually, Ron alluded to it in his initial slides. These are four that just Mike and I have kind of accumulated over the years, and they're kind of very broad sort of categories. The first category being search. So how are ontologies used to improve the precision and recall of information retrieval from unstructured or semi-structured information resources? The second kind of application is in terms of decision support. So in these kinds of problems, an ontology is being used very explicitly. Maybe some underlying logical axiomatization is being used with some kind of either general purpose or special purpose automated reasoning tool to answer certain queries, maybe about enterprises, factory applications, e-commerce, and areas like that. A third major kind of application is in the semantic interoperability and integration of software systems and databases. This is one big issue that when I was at NIST, we were kind of focusing on, is the manufacturing systems integration division. And so that kind of application is very much in the forefront. Many applications of ontologies that are developing ontology-based standards are very much addressing this idea of using an ontology in some way to integrate the kind of the underlying knowledge that is embedded and implicit within various kinds of software systems. And then the fourth major application that we've identified, let's say, so far, is what you might call ontology-driven software design. So the idea being that once you have your ontology, you can do things such as, automatically generating Java classes, Java methods, and in this way, building the ontology into the system at design time, say, rather than adding the ontology afterwards, say, which is what often very happens in the idea of semantic integration. Very often there, we're integrating the software after it's been designed. And the idea with ontology-driven software design is that you actually include the ontology right in the very initial phases of the software engineering lifecycle. Now, again, these are just four initial classes of applications. And I think they're very much what we'll be doing over the next few months, culminating in the face-to-face, we'll be doing a lot of brainstorming. We'll want to be able to kind of flesh out these categories. We'll want to enhance and augment their kinds of descriptions. There may be there's kind of subclasses of problems in these various categories. But the other more exciting possibilities will be identifying entirely new classes of applications and incorporating them into this framework. And so that then this is kind of the future-looking phase, so that then we can not only kind of identify applications kind of post hoc, but actually even drive the new kinds of applications that we haven't really even thought of up to this point. So if you move to slide five, so what we're trying to do is so there'll be a kind of a concrete deliverable out of this track. It's going to be a comprehensive framework for describing the different kinds of ontology applications, but to the level of detail where people could say, here's a particular use case, and oh, I see what kind of application it is. I see exactly how ontology is going to be used, and maybe perhaps even to say, oh, I can see in my particular domain, I can see how they did it in that domain in one way. I can maybe reproduce or extend or generalize that kind of application in my own particular new domain. So we'll want to be able to come up with this comprehensive framework. A very critical issue will be to ensure that it is integrated with the set of use cases that are presented again throughout the next few months, and then the kind of the other hope being that this will drive future implementations of ontology-based systems. If we move to the final slide, slide six, just moving forwards, what we want to do is encourage very much kind of an online discussion. So today we're not really getting into technical details. That will be the focus for future virtual sessions and online discussions. So hopefully people will be proposing different kinds of applications with which they have had experience. We will want to have mailing lists and other kinds of discussion forums online so that we can kind of sort out these contributions, see how they fit into an evolving framework. We're kind of providing a certain straw man at this point, but this framework will be definitely evolving and changing and, being kind of extended and work on that way. As new use cases arise from the other tracks, particularly track two, we'll get a revised and update this kind of classification of ontology applications. One date to circle on your calendar is February 3rd. That will be the first virtual session for the ontology application framework. If you are interested in proposing having a 5 to 10 minute presentation, please contact me and you can start working on that and you can start making the schedule. The format for that first telecon will be very similar if people have participated in this before. We'll have a kind of a panel of various people giving presentations. I don't want to limit the number. It could be we'll see how that goes. And essentially, we'll have a panelists which will be presenting slides, and then have the remainder of telecon being discussion on those points. But also, I just want to also emphasize that we'll really want to have a lot of online discussions between the various telecons, and then leading up to the face-to-face summit at NIST in April. That's about it.
Okay, we do have a couple of questions in the queue here. So, Alan Rector, you have your hand up, and just press *3 on your phone so we can hear you.
Right. Just two sub-points in this. It It seems to me, in the course of doing this, it's extremely important that we clarify the relationship between ontologies and data modeling and data structures, and also how the ontology methods can be integrated and linked to the broader standard software, established software engineering methodologies, model-driven architectures, other techniques of this sort. There is seems to be a great deal of misunderstanding and skepticism that there is any added value to using ontologies over using these techniques. And we need to show both how they relate and give people examples of actually how to do it. And I think some of the tools that we have at the moment actually are counterproductive in this respect.
Yeah, I agree. Those are some excellent points. And so, in fact, I've look at some of the, the literature that's kind of dealing with the phrase, ontology-driven, there's the phrase, the model-driven architecture, this idea of an ontology-driven architecture. And I've always been kind of left disappointed by kind of the lack of detail there. And so I think that's hopefully one of the side effects of this summit will be to provide a lot more clarity and a lot more this framework that we can use to really kind of make a lot of these vague ideas much more concrete.
Okay. Nicola, you had your hand up? Need to star three.
Star three.
We don't. Can't hear you.
Yes.
So,
can you hear me? Yes.
Yes.
I just wanted to stress the fact that these applications where ontologies are being used are not necessarily always software applications. This has been raised already in the chat room, and this is important to not to think only of applications related to the software domain, because more and more ontologies are being used to account for hidden assumptions behind, in general, technical systems or maybe socio-technical systems. Ontologies, one of the roles of ontologies is to make the vocabulary explicit, and this vocabulary is used not just by software systems, but also by people and by social systems. So this is, I believe, an interesting perspective to think of.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, very good point, Nicola. Yes, so that'll be something also. Yeah, that we'll be revising these this framework over time, and for the first kickoff session for Track One, we'll definitely be including that point.
Okay, thank you, Michael. I want to move us along here. In fact, we're rapidly we're an hour and a quarter now, so I don't want to make this last too long. This call, so. And give some time for questions at the end. Mike Bennett, now that we've got a framework, that's now a nice way in which some of these actual case studies and examples could fit in. So if you all download the T2-Bennett slide set, and Mike, I'd invite you to speak to that track number two.
So track two on applications and case studies. So this is myself and Neil Davis are chairing this one, leading it, championing it. And unfortunately, Neil's can't make it today. So we had a good chat a couple of days ago about what we want to cover and how we're doing it. And I'll just run through quickly on these slides how we're planning on approaching this track. So slide two, the goals of this track. So given the aim of the summit is to make the case for ontology, what we want to do with the case studies is to demonstrate what it is that can be achieved through a knowledge-centric approach that could not be done by some more technical means. So we're looking particularly at case studies where, you know, people have maybe tried and failed various data modeling and data integration approaches, or cases where really the thing that needed to be done could only be done by having a really formal understanding of the domain itself, the formal things and facts about those things in the problem domain, so as to allow for people to do what they could not do through some isolated technical development. So that's really what we want to try and demonstrate in order to make the case for ontologies. And as part of that, of course, is showing with those case studies what are the things that they could do that they couldn't do by other means. So what were the cost benefits, time savings, risk reductions, and so on. What were the benefits that come out of those case studies as compared to taking a non-ontological approach to the problem that they were facing. So in terms of the scope, and there's been some very important conversations about this over the last couple of weeks, but, you know, different people have a different idea of what they mean by ontology. You have your semantic web, your various sort of owl-based systems and things like that. You've got, you know, a lot of other approaches to ontology that maybe a lot of folks out there have not even necessarily heard of, in terms both of different modeling notations, but also, you know, a really wide spectrum of what we actually mean by ontology. So what we want to do with the case studies is try and cover the full spectrum of what we call ontologies, not just focusing on any one particular application or modeling notation or use of the ontology. So this is very much in line with the framework that we heard for track one about both the different applications of ontology and you know, the different notations, different levels of expressivity, and so on. So we want to pick up, you know, quite a lot of not necessarily mainstream ones even, but, you know, where you've got folks dealing with natural language and with different ways of expressing things ontologically, you know, link bases and all sorts of things are out there, of course, terminology standards and so on. So we're looking to cover that whole range, taking guidance from track one, and also, as Michael mentioned just now, hoping to take these use cases to feed into that track one and really illustrate and demonstrate with concrete examples what are the different things which are an ontology and what are the different applications for which those ontologies have been put. So not only, you know, semantic web search applications, but also standard bodies that have taken an ontological approach to defining common terms and definitions, you know, the whole range of things like that, and, you know, business conceptual modeling versus ontologies as applications or as components of applications, and feed all that into track one. Next slide. So what we want to highlight with the case studies, first and foremost, what was the problem that the people concerned were trying to solve, and what was it that really led them to realize the requirement for a knowledge-centric ontological approach to the problem they were solving? So had they, for example, tried lots of other things? We've got one possible case study where, you know, people spent literally billions on all sorts of technical ways of trying to bring lots of information sources together and then step back and use an ontology approach and achieve something in a few months, which had taken a massive budget by taking other approaches. So we look at what they've done, what were the pain points, what made them come to the point of taking an ontology kind of approach. We'll also highlight what sort of ontology was created for a given case study. How was it used? Yeah, was it for an application? Was it for documentation of industry knowledge or of the conceptual requirements for a data-intensive solution or what? So really focusing on what kind of thing was used. And also various features of the solution. So what kind of notation was used? What, you know, if there was review with subject matter experts, was that presented in some OWL notation or in some graphical notation? Was it natural language? So how was that feedback loop between the subject matter expertise that's being captured and the notation that the ontology is actually in? Was it in, say, conceptual logic or something? Was that then presented in a way that SMEs could use? And what was their experience from that? Did different SMEs have different feedback on what sort of notation they could understand and input to, and how did they manage that whole process? And also then other features of the solution, like, if it's driving applications, for example, in modern model-driven development or in specifying applications, what was the relationship between the ontology and whatever actual solution at a physical level was being used? So we want to pull out all those kind of features from the case studies, and hopefully from that start to define the benefits that are realized in each of those case studies by taking an ontology approach. So next slide, how are we going to run this track to try and achieve the stated aims? So we want to provide, of course, a range of case studies where it can be shown that ontologies have delivered some value. We haven't thought about doing case studies where it failed. That's an interesting point that Nicola raised earlier, which might be worth thinking of. But at the moment, we're looking for getting people to showcase the best that they have. So we've got a long list of standards bodies, industry associations, vendors, and so on. And, of course, a lot of work in academia as well. We've been working closely with a lot of practical applications as well. So what we're going to do is invite people to give us the best that they've got and extend that across the whole range of standard bodies, industry associations, so that we get as wide a range of different industries as possible, so financial, biomedical, government, and so on. And also we want to talk to the various solutions vendors that are out there. We've got a good list of those as well. Those have different technologies under the hood, so we're not just looking at the usual ones that everybody thinks of, but really get out to all the semantics vendors and get us to link us to case studies as well. And, of course, as I say, the huge amount of work that's being done in academia, which would lead to very useful case studies as well, particularly on the research communities and so on. And so to do that, we're going to use our connections within this community and beyond. So really, you as the folks that are here now are really our resource for giving us the best that we've got for us to showcase over the coming months. Next slide. So to do that, we'll be doing this as a series of virtual sessions the various Thursday, not every Thursday, because of course the other tracks have got events going on as well. So we'll have a list of dates, but we'll have a list of virtual sessions where we get people to tell us what they did, highlight the different approaches they took, the different problems they were trying to solve, and really make the case for what it was they did that worked. What their experiences were as well. What feedback did they get from the users, from the subject matter experts, and so on. And as I said before, not just semantic technology as the user think of it, but any aspect of ontology, we'll get showcasing on that, and get them to demonstrate through that case study why this approach realized benefits that they wouldn't have realized by other approaches, what they did right, what they found, what they'd done before, and so on. And as I said, we'll cover a wide range of industries and a wide range of types of problems that people are trying to solve in the first place. And of course, we've got to feed all that through into track one in terms of the framework for understanding different kinds of ontology and different ontology applications. We'll also sum up what were the experiences through those different case studies, what were common patterns that people found, what were things that they did that worked, things they did that they might do differently next time, and so on, and summarise our findings from that at the face-to-face meeting in Gaithersburg. So that's it.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. Mike, so let's see. So we have a framework. We have a whole bunch of application case studies and examples with articulated benefits and all, which sort of leads us into the notion of track three, which is how would one measure benefits? What are these value metrics, especially ones that can be quantified? And for that, we've got Todd Schneider is going to be introducing that track where we're going to try and discuss the different dimensions among which one could evaluate and quantify the benefit of a given application. So that's, again, slide set T3, Schneider.
Okay. First, I have to apologize. I missed Peter's message last week about having these slides ready for today. Subsequently, what you'll see today are probably incomplete thoughts, to say the least. But that's okay, given the fact that we're track three, and some of the assumptions I'm making will require some of the work to be done in tracks one and two beforehand. So if you go on to the next slide. So what are the objectives? Well, again, the goal here is to figure out how to sell the use of ontologies and semantic technologies to the decision makers. So we want to make sure that we've identified who those stakeholders are. Is it a vice president? Is it a CIO? Is it a CTO? Is it a government customer? Is it an organization that needs our help or what? You have to identify those stakeholders, and from that you'll be able to get some idea of what they value. But then we also have to identify what the useful metrics are in general to some extent, and then be able to segregate them or partition them for the various stakeholders. And also, given the fact that we're going to have this nice organization provided by Track 1, we'd like to make sure that our metrics would be applicable to the various categories that they come up with in that framework, so that if you're doing something involving databases or something like that, then we have metrics that would demonstrate either the value or the lack thereof of using ontologies and semantic technologies in database issues. So if you go on to slide three, expectations. Well, we're going to focus on metrics that address the return on investment. So it's wholly focused on business aspects. We're not going to talk about quality and other more interesting aspects. But, you know, what metrics demonstrate the monetary value of using these thingies? And again, I'm going to take a systems perspective. And of course, many systems or most systems nowadays have some software component to it, either large or small, and that's important. But as Nicole has pointed out, there are many other uses of ontologies that can help a customer, however they're deciding to use things or what they want to do. We hopefully like to get some consensus on what the useful metrics are and the models, again, focusing on the decision makers who will make use of this information, and also architects. Architects can influence decision makers. And based on the next slide and what Track 1 developed, there are going to be different technologies, and those will require different metrics. So if we go on to slide 4, I borrow this from Leo Oberst. He's showing you a range of technologies and application spaces, if you like. So each of these, this is just one decomposition, of course, but this would then, each of these would need their own perhaps distinct metric. Now, obviously, some of these metrics will have some backward compatibility or some forward compatibility, but not entirely. Again, I'm not sure at this point exactly how they will overlap or not overlap. That's to be seen. On to slide 5, please. Okay, so what are some starting points? Now, here's one of the obvious omissions. It's obvious. One of the starting points are the case studies. So we already have a lot of material out there on software metrics, software estimation methods and models, the notion of function points, which I've seen come by on one of the ontolog discussions recently, the notion of concepts from value engineering, system lifecycle models, technology readiness levels, and then we can generate a simple list of relevant dimensions, you know, the cost, the risk, the value of doing these things. And, of course, costs, they're all different aspects or subdimensions of cost. Similarly for risk, one of the risks that I've encountered in trying to promote the use of these technologies are there aren't enough trained people. Who's going to do the work? In terms of cost, there's, if you like, the initial development cost. There's a maintenance cost, which was referred to earlier. Value, you know, what's the overall value? Is it just a reduced development cost? Or if I get an extended or a larger development cost that I might otherwise have? Do I recoup some of those costs because I now have a greater extensibility, I have greater flexibility, have more resiliency, failover, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So each of these attributes, and I'm not going to use the term attributes, I'm going to use the term dimension, has subdimensions, and those are going to have to be broken out. And hopefully these will be able to be mapped to the application framework that the Track 1 is developing. And then, if you like, these are going to be viewed as hypotheses, and we're going to then test them against the various case studies that Track 2 will collect and analyze for us. On to slide 6, please. So, right now, I just blatantly ripped out a whole bunch of attributes from architecture, and I sort of reworded them a bit to be more relevant and useful for ontologies and semantic technologies. So this is just a starting point. This is by no means final, may not be complete. Some of them may be absolutely absurd. You know, for instance, one of the issues is safety. If I'm using an ontology for safety critical system, how do I value the use of the ontology over standard RDB? You know, what are the risks involved in doing that? Scalability, is the ontology modular? Well, even if the ontology is modular, the way it's being used in a system may just inhibit any scalability. Is it accurate? Is it accurate? Is it fit for its purpose? You know, is it reliable? Well, so there's lots of other things that we probably need to address. I don't have a complete list, and I don't think I can generate it by myself. This is where the community comes in to help us create this initial list of dimensions and subdimensions. Then, again, this is going to act as a hypothesis. We'll go back and look at the case studies and review the framework and to see which ones make sense. Again, the focus is on return on investment. Which of these are important for return on investment and convincing a decision maker to spend the money or to go ahead and use these technologies? Slide 7, please. Next one. Okay, so value models. I exactly wasn't sure what a value model meant. I think I took a more elaborate notion than was originally intended. But again, there's all sorts of value models out there, cost, risk, feature, extensibility, value, some hybrid variation. I believe we'll have to decide as a group what we mean by this and how it should be connected to the metrics. Next slide, please. I think it's the last one. So you'll note I have the adjective here, possible, or the qualifier possible. Exactly what we'll come up with, I'm not sure at this point. Sorry. But at least we should have the dimensions for the possible metrics. Now, this first statement is rather awkwardly phrased. My brain wasn't working too well. I couldn't think of a better way to say it. But again, we have these uses of ontologies, semantic technologies. We want to figure out how to measure their value in the context of ROI, and again, a large view of things, systems development or enterprise development, whichever one term you'd like to use. And then for each of those metrics, some value for each of the categories that are developed in Track 1. And I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. And so, we're marching through the sort of the structure of, I think, how to break this problem down. Next, I'd like to invite Matthew West to...
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, absolutely. Great. Now, this gets down to sort of like your cheat sheet, right? How to go about convincing someone that this is all good stuff. So, Matthew, you're audible, so you've got the floor.
Thank you very much. Well, as you can see here, this is the sort of co-champions for this are Christopher Menzel and Peter Yin, together with myself. Okay, if we can move on to slide 2, please. These are the goals that we've set ourselves. Flesh out a range of approaches that we can use to make the case. Deliver a body of knowledge and resources for use by the community in the future, and getting the word out. One of the things that I've realized is that these goals apply at two levels. There's a level of making the case, which is getting the idea out there abroad that ontologies are worthwhile, independent of any project, and making the case for ontologies at that kind of very broad level. But there's also the question of the strategy for making the case for ontologies within particular projects. How do you go about that, and how do you make sure that you're doing the right things so that you deliver the value that you've promised in introducing an ontology into a project. Okay, next slide, please. So here we have some possible approaches and deliverables. I think quite a lot of what you need to do is being able to give answers when asked questions. And so the sound bites and quotable quotes, this is where those come in. Somewhere there ought to be down at the bottom you'll see elevator pitches, which is one of the places where you would use those sound bites and quotable quotes. In terms of making the case at large, one of the suggestions has been a debate for and against ontology. We're trying to get appropriate people who can make the case in both directions. And we have Chris Menzel in particular, who's volunteered to make the case for ontology. If we can find someone who will try to take the opposing view. One of the things that we can do is enumerate pros and cons. An alternative to the debate is perhaps a mock trial, which might be something we can do if we're not able to find someone to take on the opposing view. A repertoire of elevator pitches and arguments for a range of audiences. Okay, slide four, please. So we're looking to have perhaps up to three sessions, plus a good deal of work using the Ontology Summit Explorers. So a kickoff meeting, that's really going to be identifying the people to contribute, who have something to contribute to this stream, and what they have it to contribute. The main body of work, I hope, will happen on the Summit Explorers. If we're able to do a debate or mock trial, then that would take a session. And then finally, we would need a roundup session, which would be about agreeing the final deliverables and the content that would come from the stream for the summit itself. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions on that?
All right, I'll watch the chat room for anyone raising their hand. But in the meantime, thank you very much, Matthew. I think everyone's probably getting a good sense of how busy this is going to be these 3 months. So that's good. That's a good thing. That takes us to our fifth track, which will be presented by Ernie Lucier of the National Coordination Office. And this is the one that sort of steps back and says, okay, what are the big barriers? Assuming we can make the case and all, are there other things that are standing in the way? So the slides are up. Take it away.
Okay, great. I want to thank Ron for preparing the slides. We haven't really had a chance to talk yet, so these are very preliminary. But one of the things we're going to do is look at, you know, what the state of the art is or what the status is of ontologies in the government, academia, and industry. We're going to determine where there are gaps, and also take a look at actions that need to be taken to close those gaps. And as far as brainstorming ideas for a grand challenge, that's a lot more complex. What we're talking about there is coming up with clear, achievable goals of what we're trying to do. You know, real-world applications have been mentioned. George Strawn mentioned the big data. How do you process big data? This could be a major tool for processing big data. And what we want to do is, you know, produce change as a result of the grand challenge, if you want to think we're doing. We need to determine the participants before we come up with a grand challenge. That means you want a very large audience. You want a very large number of people who will participate. So it needs to be designed that way. We'll be asking for lots of ideas from lots of people. And we'll end up with metrics that we have to be able to measure. It'd be things like increased number of people who are using ontologies and also the different types of disciplines that are using it. And government is use of ontologies can be a major goal of ours. George mentioned that government is not an early adopter. We want to change that and accelerate the adoption of ontologies in the government. We're looking at our standards created as a result of the grand challenge. Can we do that? Will there be an increase in the community priority and demand for the actual technology itself. Will be improved skills. Will people be able to do things faster? Will be able to accelerate research and development in information technology? And then we'll be talking about prizes and, you know, just how to go about doing it. And we'll be looking for experts, people who have done this before. And hopefully Peter had mentioned that there's a possibility of a third person being co-chair. I need to talk to Ram after this meeting, and there are possibilities for that. Okay, the approach. Okay, we're going to get leaders from all the different areas, and especially we get leaders, people who have done grand challenges before. Ram, do you want to talk to slide three? Or?
In terms of the approach that we would like to follow is to get input from the leaders in the area, and Ernie and I are going to talk after this and see how we're going to do this thing and get via email or virtual sessions and things like that. And we also would be getting input from the other sessions. As we have seen, there's a lot of overlap around here in terms of the sessions. If you draw an Venn diagram, it won't be intersection. There's some intersection in all the sessions as such, so we'll probably be looking forward for input from other tracks too. We're going to synthesize, summarize that input. Now, one of the things which I guess, Ernie, you put this thing up in terms of the grand challenge problem. So I'm going to talk about it. I'll let you talk about what you mean by this grand challenge problem.
Well, basically what you're looking for is you have goals that you're trying to accomplish. You're trying to have more people involved in it. You need to decide what your clear goals are. And that'll be the first task of our group. You know, and we'll solicit that from the people who currently do ontologies, and also within the government industry as well.
So, Ernie and Ram, thank you for that. So what I want to move to is Peter's going to give you some information now about how we make this whole thing work for the next 3 months. But while he's gearing up, start thinking about any other questions you have about the topics. We've had a lot of things going on in the chat room, as I'm sure you can see. But if you have any particular questions you want to raise today, either on the topics themselves or on the process by which we will carry this out, think about that. Start putting your hand up, getting a queue on the chat room. And then in the meantime, Peter's going to run us through some of the mechanisms of how we're going to carry this out. So, Peter, the floor is yours. The slide is on the VNC, and that's the slide set labeled A1-YIM for those of you who are downloading. Okay, Peter.
Yeah.
All yours.
I'm going to talk about the support infrastructure and some of the processes and some administrivia. Going over to slide two. So if anything, I mean, during the next 3 months, bookmark one page, and this is the page. This is the Ontology Summit 2011 homepage. Everything could index off this page, and this is sort of the one place where we collect everything. So bookmark this. And the next thing, major thing, is a lot of the asynchronous discussion will be done over a mailing list. And this is not the Ontolog forum list. So years ago, I mean, people confused and got some of the discussions into Ontolog forum and other places. But let's focus all the summit discussion on the mailing list called Ontology Summit. And if you're not already on, if you have been on that in previous years, we did not unsubscribe anyone, so you're still on. But if you're not subscribed, please subscribe it. There are details. I have this link in the middle that would give you all the details as to how to get subscribed. And even if you're an Ontolog member, you will have to subscribe to this list. I mean, you're not automatically on the list. So please be aware. Next thing is the track champions will be starting their respective discourse or conversation through maybe one or a few threads that would address the type of issues they want to discuss. So it will start fairly soon with inviting messages, invitation messages from the track champions. So go look for them. And if you follow the link, I mean, we will also show that when, because there are going to be a lot of traffic, like, I mean, I didn't quite count, but I remember like 2-3 years ago, in 3 months, we collected like maybe 1,600 or 1,700 messages. That's a lot of messages every day. That's why to help us sort through these, I have on the wiki page also suggested that people use label and use prefixes on the subject line. And also make sure your message content is correspond well with the subject line and have a proper prefix applied to it. That way the champions would thank you, because then they could collect all the discussions that are relevant to them, to that track, and then start the synthesis. So next slide, I'm on slide 4 now. That would be the wiki workspace. And within the wiki workspace, we have also built out a range of pages, essentially 2 pages for each track. There's a community input page where everyone is invited to send things through. And then there is a synthesis page, which will be a maintained page, which hopefully only the champions will be editing. They will be calling the input from the mailing list or the community input page and then structuring some sort of synthesized and well-organized content on the synthesis page. So, and again, this link that I show on the first bullet will take you to a point whereby that's sort of more described and could also index you off to those pages. The skeletal pages are up, but there's no contents quite yet, and we look forward to your input. That's the description of this slide, and moving on to slide number 5, obviously, as discussed, we will be running virtual sessions. In fact, we will probably be using up all the Thursdays from between now and April 18 and 19 when we have the face-to-face. So if you're marking your calendar, please mark your calendars. And if you're marking your calendars, mark all the Thursdays. We hope you come to every one of them. And I would say most of these sessions will be 2-hour sessions, because there's a lot of content to go through. And the starting times are 9:30 a.m. for Pacific and so on. And this is a new time. It's like today's session, and it's 1 hour early than the usual ontolog time, so please be aware. We are doing this partly because we are also very hopeful that we'll engage more European people, and we don't want them to be coming to meetings too late in the evening. So let's have as many people participate as possible. And so look out for the event announcements on the Ontolog invitation list, which is our announcement list. And if you missed the list, you can also, when you go to the Ontolog Wiki homepage, there's a news and announcement section, which is very, very up to date. So that's also one of the best places to find out if anything is going on or what is going on. And again, if there's any logistics, infrastructure type issues, please feel free to email me. That's it. Back to Steve and
okay.
Nicola.
Thank you. Of course, Peter is far too modest. He is much more than a simple mechanic or administrator of logistics. He's very much involved in the content discussions as well. So, and for that, I think we owe him a great debt. Okay, we are at last at the point of the Q&A. The good news is the chat room is serving handsomely for capturing a lot of people's questions and, for that matter, people's responses to those questions. So I don't see any hands up at this point as far as orally delivered questions. I do invite people, if they would like to say anything at this point, to feel free to do so. Of course, the advantage of typing those questions and all is it's much easier for people later on to review them and see the responses. But let me open a 15-second window here for anyone to raise their hand on the chat room and make any remark, raise any questions. And if not, maybe we'll even finish a little earlier than the 2 hours that we have possibly been gone on to here. So let's see. While people are percolating on those thoughts, Nicola, did you want to actually offer any other reactions, responses, encouragements to people before we move into the wrap-up?
Well, there has been some interesting discussion going on the chat room. I don't have anything special to add. I'm just looking forward to the contributions from everybody, and I really hope that other people, more people, especially from countries which are not present here, I really hope that more people will join the discussion in the future months.
I would concur with that, and I agree. I hope our outreach, especially to the European community this year, is going to get a lot more people engaging. Certainly Europe has been active in formal representations and ontologies for many years, arguably pulling ahead of the U.S. at times, so that would be fantastic. All right, well, I think the stage is set. We've got 5 tracks. We've got a lot of issues on the table. You all have exhibited yourselves as engaged people, as judging from the chat room activities, so that's good. And I would encourage you again, please do jump in. Please engage. It's easy to sort of think about this thing as being distant, but in fact, we want to remind you this is an ongoing 3-month exercise. We hope to collect a lot of this material earlier rather than later. So I want to again support and thank both the organizers and the track co-champions who will be busy trying to hang on to the tiger's tail on this thing. But with that, I think we're ready to wrap this up to the 2-hour mark. So, again, thank you so much for participating. We hope to hear from all of you in this coming 3 months. We're a virtual community, and I feel very confident we're going to have some true value to offer at the end. So with that, I'm going to close it. There are no hands up, and we will be hearing from each other, and don't forget for having the first virtual session. Thank you, and this meeting is now adjourned.